Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. The Spirit that comes upon Jesus at baptism sustains him when he is tested by Satan, so that he might proclaim the good news of God's reign. The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning with verse 9.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels waited upon him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So I'll be honest with you, I am not a very good gift giver. It's not that I don't like buying gifts. It's not that I don't like giving gifts. I am just not good at figuring out the right gift for a certain person. And the truth is, I believe that there are some people who really have a gift of choosing just the right present. It's almost like they have a sixth sense or something. The ability to think about a person and know exactly what it is that would just kind of make them go, "Oh, thank you. Not my gift whatsoever." But let me tell you a story. Wednesday evening, after the Ash Wednesday worship, we went downstairs to pack loaves and fishes meals for the kiosks that go out here. There were probably 30 of us down there making the circle around the tables, putting in the crackers and the Chef Boyardee and the packets of tuna and the granola bars and everything else that goes in. I was off in a corner with someone else, and we were doing the breaking down of all of those small boxes that things come in. And while we were breaking boxes, we started talking. This person who was with me has been spending lots of time in gymnasiums lately because her kids are playing ball. She said it's a good thing that she likes popcorn because it's become one of the major food groups. She said she loves popcorn, and it doesn't matter what form it comes in. It could be movie theater popcorn. It could be air popcorn. It could be microwave popcorn. She says she really doesn't even mind stale popcorn. Popcorn's just a gift. Well, one of those nights in the gymnasium was her birthday. And as they were walking toward the school, her husband said to her, "Well, I guess I should probably let you know. Your birthday present tonight? Well, it's popcorn." I called ahead to the Booster Club. All of the popcorn for everyone that wants tonight is paid for. That's what I gave you for your birthday. She said it was a lot of fun that night, kind of joking with her family, saying, "Well, look at that, they're celebrating my birthday too." Anyone that was walking around with a box of popcorn. It made me think that it is great to give gifts to people, but oftentimes when gifts are given, they're not just for the receiver. They're meant to be shared. So think about baptism, because I believe that baptism works in just that way. You are washed once in the waters of baptism. All of us, once upon a time, it happened that we were splashed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And there's no question, in that act, a gift was given to you, child of God. named and claimed by our Savior in those waters, marked with a watery cross. Think about Jesus' baptism. It is just after being baptized and hearing the words from heaven, "This, you are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." And immediately, Mark tells us, he was drove out into the wilderness. I love the word drove, that verb. It's forceful. It wasn't gentle. Jesus was forced there. And my sense is that those 40 days that he was in the wilderness, he is being sustained by those words that were spoken over him, by what happened in those waters. It was most certainly a gift for Jesus. Yet, if you continue reading and thinking about the scripture for today, those words weren't spoken just for Jesus. The gift that was given him to be the beloved Son in baptism was not hoarded by him. It was not kept to himself. Instead, following Mark's quick progression, Jesus is back in Galilee, and he's talking about the good news. And he's inviting everyone that comes near to repent and believe in the good news. This baptized one, Jesus, came for the sake of the entire world, came with a word of proclamation and an invitation, came inviting, encouraging, calling us to repent, to turn around and away from our sin, and then to carry with us the message of good news. Baptism is most certainly for your sake, being marked as God's very own. But through these waters, you have also been freed for the sake of others. We live in a world which tries to teach us asking the question around every corner, "What's in it for me? If I do that, what's in it for me?" But Jesus is inviting us to live differently. We are being invited to live asking how, after being marked with a baptismal cross of Christ, after hearing the good news, how we might become gift or good news to someone else. How might I be gospel to or for them? It's not as hard as you think. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking through the front of the church on a weekday, and I noticed that there were two individuals sitting on the long pew that's out there in the entryway. They had grabbed some food out of the loaves and fishes kiosk, and I walked up to them. And before I said anything, the gentleman kind of grabbed at his things and he said, "Oh, don't worry, we're going to be moving on." And I just stuck out my hand and I said, "I'm Pastor Mark. What's your name?" He introduced himself, introduced his daughter. I asked him how things are going, and his whole demeanor changed. We entered into conversation for a bit. Then I said to him, "Take your time. Warm up. I'm glad you found something to eat." Then I headed back to work. I don't tell you this story to make you think that I'm the hero of the story. That's not the point. Because I mess up encounters like this often, where I don't ask the right question or my facial expressions are wrong and it puts a person off. I tell you this story because that day, this person, in the way they responded immediately, said to me that they were used to getting pushed out of places that are warm. They were used to being judged. That in that moment, they found ease because they had been seen. In our community and around us, there are people all the time who are not seen, who put their eyes down as we walk by them on the street, who feel that they're a burden to anyone around them. And yet we are called to simply noticing people. And maybe engaging in a bit of conversation to let them know that they're seen and they're cared for. I think we've told you before that earlier last summer we gathered together with Casey, who at the time was working for Ministry on the Margins, and she did some training with staff on how to engage neighbors who visit here. And she said to us, the most important thing in the world is just to notice them. Let them know you're listening and that you care. If you think about our gospel reading today, if you were to open it up again and look at the Gospel of Mark, in 7 short verses, Mark runs us through 40 days. Geographically, we've come from Galilee, we've come down to the River Jordan, we get pushed out into the wilderness, we go back to Galilee. Mark has us quickly moving on a journey where other writers take chapters. I think part of what Mark is doing in condensing all of this is showing us a progression from baptism to the challenges of life, and then a call to carry the good news to other really looking at them. That's the reality of life. Baptized brothers and sisters, there is not a promise that life is going to be easy, but instead, baptized, we are carried into ministry to be good news for those around us and to be that for others as well. You've been splashed, marked with the good news of Jesus Christ. As those waters wash over you, may you become one who can see others, engage them, and splash them with the baptismal waters of grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.